Appreciate those good songs that Justin led this morning for us, and thank you so much for being here today, and appreciate you and the good singing that you did this morning. It was fantastic, and I hope that you'll bring that kind of energy to all of our song services. It'd be great to have that kind of singing every time we meet together. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at practicing self-control. And I guess that kind of ties in a little bit with our singing. You know, you got to have a little self-control to sing and put yourself out there and give your good voice to the Lord. But a lot of times when we think about self-control, maybe we think about making choices in our lives. You know, like the choice between that donut that really tastes good and that apple, which doesn't taste as good, but it's really good for you, you know. And so making those choices but in self-control, that's a good thing that we need to work on and to be part of our lives. Of course, self-control extends not only to what we eat, but what we say, what we do, all aspects of our lives. We've got to have self-control to do the right things in our lives. And we're going to start by looking at 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9. And sometimes we talk about this section of verses as being the Christian graces. But listen to what Peter writes here. He says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." So self-control is the management of our desires by the Spirit so as to fulfill God's purposes. We grow up a lot of times not having very good self-control and wanting to control other people instead of controlling ourselves. It's always easier to try to control someone else than it is to control yourself, because controlling somebody else, you have no consequences for. You have no responsibility for that, right? So it's easier to tell somebody else what to do. It's a lot harder for us to turn inward and to say, okay, what should I do? How should I control myself? And that's what self-control is all about. And so we need to control ourselves. You know, the heart can deceive us about a lot of things, because Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Self-control helps us to question ourselves and what we are doing. And it puts God into the driver's seat in our lives, which is what we need. You know, a lot of times people want to put God in the driver's seat when everything's going out of control. You know that song, "Jesus, Take the Wheel," right? And that's when everything's going out of control. And you say, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And take the wheel, Jesus, you do it. Well, that's really not what life is about. That's really not what the gospel is about. That's kind of saying, I don't want to be responsible anymore for this. Well, that's not what God wants. He wants us to be responsible. He wants us to exercise self-control. He wants us to do the right things. We put God in the driver's seat when we are willing to have self-control over our lives and let God's word reign over our lives and make the choices in our lives that God wants us to make. That's really putting God in the driver's seat. And that is a lot to do with not only just the times when we feel like we're out of control, but everything we do in life, every day. So not taking that extra helping of lasagna that I would love to have. Or not saying something that comes to your mind and you think, well, I'd really like to say this right now, but then self-control kicks in and it says, you better not say that. You know, watching our words, keeping a control on our tongue, not saying things that we shouldn't say, not going to places that we shouldn't go to, you know, not going to the clubs and to the liquor stores and to the tobacco joints and all of those places. Self-control. We need to practice self-control. And you know, it makes us want to think about this topic. And the first question we want to ask, of course, is what is out of control? And again, going back to Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm really the one who's out of control to begin with. My sins have put me out of control, is what the Bible is saying. And we need to confess this. This is part of the healing process. This is part of understanding that I'm the problem here. We've all got to say, my life without God is out of control. No matter how good it may seem, and we have a great ability to self-justify, you know, the things that we do. But no matter how good it may seem, we've got to say, God is the one who needs to be in control. We'll talk about that in a minute. But look at James 1 and verses 14 and 15. He says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And you notice the picture of a fish hook there, because that's what sin does. It throws the bait out for us, and then we go after it. And there's a hook in that bait, right? And it hooks us, and now we're in trouble. Now we are committing sin. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. But it comes from within. It's what we want. You know, that you couldn't go fishing if the fish didn't want something, right? The fish wants something. It wants something to eat. And that's how you get the fish. You throw something that it wants, and you're able to reel it in. And so Satan is doing the same thing to us. He is looking at us and he's saying, you want something, don't you? And we're saying, uh-huh, yeah. And then he throws the bait out there and he hooks us and reels us in. Well, we want to practice self-control. It's self-control that will keep us from getting into that situation. But when one goes out of control, all kinds of bad things happen. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, it's a long list, but it's a list of things that are out of control when we don't practice the self-control that we need to practice. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to have some self-control. We've got to put the brakes on. We've got to say, I'm not going to get involved in these activities. I'm not going to do these things that the world is wanting me to do, but that I know I shouldn't do. We've got to put them away, and we've got to stand up for what's right within our own lives. Self-control. Jesus said, sin comes from within. Mark 7, 21 through 23. For from without, out of the heart of men proceed, or from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So We are out of control. Mankind is sinful and does sinful things. And that comes from within, a life that is dominated by fleshly desires is a life that is out of control. But then secondly, who is in control? We all know the answer to this. God is in control. God is perfectly in control. He's always in control. And we've got to confess that. Without God, I'm out of control. But God is always in control. And when I have God in my life, then I can be in control. I can practice self-control. The Bible tells us that all things were created to serve God's purposes. Romans chapter 11, verse 36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And they were all created to serve his purposes. And he is the one then who is in control in this world. That is demonstrated very clearly in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verses 17, 25, and 32, where it says, "The Most High rules in the kingdom of men." And look at Exodus 9 and verse 16 there, where God is speaking to Pharaoh and letting him know who is really in control. He says, "But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, Pharaoh, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." God is in control, and we've got to acknowledge that. We've got to consider that he is the one to whom we need to give our allegiance and obedience. How does God control things today? You know, God controlled things in the Old Testament and in Jesus' time and the apostles' times directly through miracles and other inspired prophets and apostles. But today, God controls us through his word, the gospel. That is God's power for us today. Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So God's not going to come down to us today and give us a staff and tell us to change it into a serpent so that he can show that he's in control anymore. No. Today, God shows us that he's in control through the gospel, by revealing the message of the gospel. And it is our opportunity then to study the gospel, to learn the gospel, to obey the gospel, and give God that control over our lives through it. And the question to us this morning is this: will we let him take control of our lives through the gospel? Again, it's not like when everything is out of control, finally sitting back and saying, "Take control," and just kind of denying that you're personally responsible for whatever situation that you've gotten yourself into. That's not what the gospel is about. What it is about is saying, you know what? My life is out of control. It needs to get back in control. And in order to do that, I've got to go study the Word of God. I've got to learn the Word of God, and I've got to practice the Word of God. That's how we get our life back under control. Not by abdicating responsibility, but by taking responsibility. That's what the gospel is about. That's why the gospel is God's power over our lives today. Because it enables us to get back into control through God's commandments, by practicing the word of God and by doing his holy will. And so God has given us self-control in two ways today. By giving us Jesus And this is the question, how do I get control? How do I do this? He gives us Jesus, our perfect example. He gives us Jesus, the sacrifice on the cross, so that we can be forgiven of our sins. You know, a lot of times people wonder, you know, why do I need forgiveness of sins? So you can have a fresh start. If you don't have forgiveness of sins, you can't get a fresh start. You know, when the murderer has committed murder, he doesn't think anything about stealing at that point because he's already guilty of murder. And he thinks, well, what? Why should I worry about committing an additional crime now? I'm already in it. Well, when the sinner looks at his sins and says, well, I've already committed all these sins, why should I bother? If there's no forgiveness, why should I change? But with the gospel, God gives us Jesus. He gives us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And you see, that enables us to change. We can now look at our lives and say, yes, I have done all of these bad things over the years, but I've been forgiven of those things, and now I can start anew. And now I have a fresh beginning, you see. And I can take that beginning, and I can go forward with a life of self-control. God has given us Jesus, and He's given us the Holy Spirit. And when I say He's given us the Holy Spirit, He's given us the message of the Holy Spirit, as we were talking about earlier. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired book. It was written by the Holy Spirit. And if I want to know what the Holy Spirit has to say to my life, I've got to go to this book and read what it says. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell me something that this book tells me not, or the Holy Spirit is not going to tell me to do something that this book tells me not to do. And the Holy Spirit is not going to tell me not to do something that this book tells me to do. Because this book was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So how do I get control? Jesus and the Spirit. Let's take a look at Romans 8 and verse 13. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That is, if you decide you are going to live however you want, follow your desires, follow your passions, whatever you want to do in your life, then you're going to die according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's all that's promised you is death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, how do I do that? I put to death the deeds of the body. I stop giving my body everything it desires. Those who have committed sin, they stop committing fornication. They stop stealing things. They stop saying lies. They stop cursing. They stop drinking. They stop doing drugs. Whatever it might be, you got to stop doing that and take back control of your life. You put to death the deeds of the body. You put that to death. And you will live, the Bible says. Look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. What is that talking about? You put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who lived a perfectly sinless life. You put on His life. You take His life as your own. You put that on and you do not provide for those fleshly desires. You don't please the flesh. You live like Jesus lived. God has given us Jesus and the Spirit. Now think about this, Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17, because we're all in this situation. There's a big tug of war going on in our life right now, every single one of us. And that is between the flesh and the Spirit. And Paul says this, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to each other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Have you ever thought, you know what? You get up in the morning, you go and you start getting things together, you brush your teeth, and you're thinking, I'm going to be good today. Dieting and stuff. I do a lot of that. I focus on that a lot. I'm not going to eat that extra donut today. I'm not going to eat a donut today. Not the extra one, just the donuts, period. I'm going to eat those donuts. I'm not going to have all that sugary sweet tea. I love sweet tea, but it hurts me. You know, I'm not going to drink the sodas. And then you end up at Burger King for lunch, right? And there's that soda fountain. Well, I know I said I wasn't going to drink those sodas today, but man, that sure would go good with the French fries and that hamburger, right? And so there you are. That's what Paul's talking about right here. He said, you do not do the things that you wish. So in the morning, you get up and you say, oh, I'm going to lay off the soda pop today. Or the Coke, as we say down here in Texas, right? I'm going to lay off that. And then you get to the situation where it's there, and then you're like, oh, I really would like to have one of those right now. You don't do the things that you wish. That's the spirit against the flesh. The spirit was saying, you got good guidance here. And the flesh is saying, that sure would be great. You know, that's the tug of war that's going on. And you're like, every single person experiences this somehow, in some way, to some degree. And Paul is saying, let the spirit lead you. Let the spirit guide you, not the flesh. If you're led by the spirit, that's how you won't be under the law. And so we need to put to death the deeds of the body. We need to make no provision for the flesh. And we've got to serve the spirit instead of the flesh. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. This is a great verse to memorize. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Self-control. That's the kind of spirit that God gave us. And we need to exercise that spirit of self-control. Now, why do we need this? To fulfill God's purposes. How are we going to love our neighbor? How are we going to love God and love our neighbor if we have no self-control? We're not going to be able to do that. Our purpose in life as human beings is to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's the goal. That's what we're trying to accomplish every single day. But when we don't practice self-control, we're not going to be able to accomplish that purpose. And Jesus said this. He said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life, that's what Jesus came to give. But look, if we're being controlled by the flesh, and we're getting in trouble all the time, what is happening? That's the thief. The thief is killing us and stealing from us and destroying us, taking away our joy, taking away our contentment through grief and through guilt and shame. But Jesus says, nope, if you follow me, you can have the abundant life. And that's what we want to do. Have that abundant life with God and our following his word and exercising self-control. We can have a tremendous life. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken down and left without walls. What a ruin that is. But we want to do what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Football season is upon us. We started the scrimmages this past week and all of that is going. But those athletes, they've got to be in self-control. They've got to execute those blocks. They've got to run those formations. And they've got to do it exactly like the play says. And that takes a tremendous amount of self-control. And when that play is over and those emotions are up there, what do you got to do as an athlete? You got to bring it back down. And then the next play will come along. But that's what it takes, self-control. Athletes exercise self-control. The distance runner runs and runs and runs so that he can control that body and get it to do what he wants it to do. It takes time. Self-control. Now, athletes do it to receive a temporary prize, right? Just something temporary, lasts for a season. But we, as Christians, we're trying to exercise self-control so we can gain that eternal prize of living with God in heaven. How about you this morning? Have you been exercising self-control over your life? Maybe you need to make some changes this morning. That word of God is pleading with you. Are you hearing it? Repent of your sins. That's what's getting us out of control, is those sins in our life. And then confess that Jesus is the one who can bring you back into control. And then identify with, put him on by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can start fresh this very morning, living a life that is under God's control. Not just when things seem to go out of control, but at all times, giving your life to him. And that would be a truly abundant life. Why not come forward this morning and do that very thing while together we stand and while we sing?